What's going on, everyone, and welcome back to the Double M Show, episode number 35. 35, Mike, the only one that comes to head right now, Kevin Durant. Old Kevin Durant. He's number 7 now for Brooklyn.
The old killer.
The old Kevin Durant. Easy money sniper.
Easy money sniper.
Number 35 for Golden State
Warriors.
Let
me think of some Boston 35s. Reggie Lewis was 35. R.I.P. to him.
Rest in peace to Reggie Lewis.
Patrick Pass. Remember him?
No.
Fullback for the Patriots. He was nice, like Madden 03.
The name is starting to
Patrick
sound familiar.
Patrick Pass, fullback, like early Kevin
Paul. He was 35?
I think he was 35. Patrick Pass.
I vaguely remember.
Someone double check me on that, but Patrick Pass, I believe, is number 35 for the New England Patriots. And I remember him from Madden because he was a solid fullback for them.
When fullbacks were fullbacks in
exactly.
The NFL.
But yeah, 35 is a big number. But either way, it's good to be back here holding down Double M.
Yes, sir, man. We are back on Double M, episode number 35. Thank you for everyone who's been tuning in, been sticking with us through all the transitions and whatnot.
Even
we are still here.
Listening on iTunes, Spotify, yep. All of that good stuff.
We see the numbers, and we really have a consistent following. So thanks to all of you guys for that. Mike Nice.
Yes, sir.
We got a loaded show, man, so let's not waste all the time with the jibber-jabber. What's on the playlist?
On the playlist on this episode of Double M, we're going to start things off with the New England Patriots. You know, they were chugging along in their season, you know, 1-0, 2-0, 3-0, 4-0, 5-0, 6-0, 7-0, 8-0. And then they fell to the Baltimore Ravens in week 9 of the NFL season. They suffered a loss on the road to the Ravens. And, you know, that undefeated season, you know, talk that I had going on throughout the year, believing that this Patriots team, especially with the defense that they had, so dominant, nobody can crack them, nobody can get at them. They fell to the Baltimore Ravens in that undefeated streak dream that I had, that many people had, you know, was officially out the window. Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Are you happy? Are you sad? Either way, we are going to discuss it right here on the Double M Show for sure. We also want to talk about, you know, the passing of a black comedian, a legend in the game, you know, who passed away suddenly at the age of 77, I believe. Yep. John Witherspoon, a guy who has entertained many over the years through movies, through television shows and sitcoms, to his voiceover work with shows like The Boondocks, passed away. And, you know, that guy's made many, many, many people laugh just with, you know, who he is, the characters he's played. It was a tough loss for many. Something we'll talk about more when we get to that segment. But, you know, rest in peace to John Witherspoon for sure. We'll get more into that. And, you know, we got some topics we want to talk about for sure here on Double M. And with those topics, we want to get at the over and unders. Underrated, overrated. How do we feel about these certain topics that, you know, I think Marv has that he'll, you know, shoot out there. And, you know, we'll give our thoughts and feelings on if they're underrated or overrated, but definitely want to hear from you guys as well who are tuned in on the live stream. If you're tuned in right now, appreciate you guys. Spread the word. Tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend. Send this link out on Twitter, Facebook, IG.
Snapchat.
Send a text message. Do whatever you got to do because Double M is live right now.
Awesome, man. So let's get right to it. The New England Patriots played the Baltimore Ravens Sunday night, Mike. And, you know, this was a real test. You know, obviously we knew that this was going to be the Patriots' first real test against a formidable opponent. Ravens going into the game, I believe they were 5-2. So,
yes.
You know, only suffered loss against the Kansas City Chiefs and the Cleveland Browns. Mike, you and I did a show prior to that week called the Patriots Roundtable, which you can catch on CLNS Media.
Facts.
And you told me you were a Doctor Strange. You told me you're Doctor Strange, and I said, Mike, since you're Doctor Strange and you see a billion ways of how this out game will go, what's the percentage of the Ravens winning this game? Mike, do you remember what you told me?
I did say none.
Zero time. So one, I would like to say you are a fake ass Doctor Strange.
Yeah, I'm not Doctor Strange. I'm more like a strange doctor because it didn't you know unfold the way I thought it would.
It didn't unfold. You know, starting off the game, Ravens got the ball, went down the field right away. You know, dumb penalty by the Patriots, neutral zone infraction.
Okay.
Gave the Ravens another opportunity. They scored a touchdown, and from there, man, it was as if the Ravens were the veteran team, and the Patriots were the ones making mistakes. And that's what happened, man. The Patriots fell 33-17, I believe, to the Baltimore Ravens.
33-17 or 33-20?
Patriots put up 20? Thing was 17.
Patriots put 20 up.
Well, look.
Appreciate you, Sean. 20, right?
Yeah. 20. All right. 33-20. I'm just so mad I knocked 3 points off of them. 33-20. But, Mike, we're not going to really talk about the game specifically. Just about now the undefeated streak is over. How do you feel about that? Because you were one of them that you were running that. We need to get this undefeated train going.
All right. Let me make sure this is clear. I was the leader, the freaking conductor. Toot, toot. That was me of the undefeated streak train. You know, I fully believe that this Patriots had the tools, especially early on in the season. You know, the couple wins they racked up, especially when you had, you know, Josh Gordon out there. You had a week where you had Antonio Brown out there. Everybody was healthy for the most part. And then this defense was doing what it was doing to teams. And on top of that, Brady is still the quarterback. Bill Belichick is the head coach. You know, the system is still there. I believe that the undefeated streak could happen. And they were just running through teams, putting up points. Defense putting up points. Defense holding teams to scoreless games or 7, 3, 10 points, nothing crazy. You know, I would firmly believe that the Patriots could chug along and make an undefeated season happen. I didn't see, if you looked at the schedule, I didn't really see anybody posing a threat. But if there was one game that people kept shouting out to me, especially after you got a couple weeks into the season, and especially that you were doing, Marv, this Baltimore Ravens matchup. This Baltimore Ravens matchup. Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens is the team you have to look out for. And me, and I said, yeah, cool, Ravens, whatever. Lamar Jackson, all right, sure. It's the New England Patriots. It's not easy to beat the New England Patriots. So I figured they'll get through them. They'll get through Dallas and Kansas City coming up. No problem at all. But there's one thing I did say, Marv. As much as I wanted, believed in an undefeated season, here's what I said. I won't make the same mistake as 2007. I didn't want the Patriots to lose in 2007. I was making their way. I didn't want them to lose so far in 2019. But in 2007, a loss during the regular season would have devastated me. Crush. A week 9, 10, 11 loss in 2007 would have broke my heart. Now, they lost to the Ravens. They got a loss under their belt. And I can say, you know what? Okay, cool. You got the loss. You know what it feels like to get beat. Not only beat, but you got smacked by the Ravens.
No, it wasn't just a loss.
You got smacked.
This was a real loss.
Now you got beat. You took a loss. Now you can understand, learn, and grow from that. Know what a loss tastes like and try to, you know, progress through the rest of your season. If more losses come, whatever. I expect more wins to come, but I still think this team will be very successful in the long run.
Yeah, like you said, man, the Ravens team was the game where I was going to make my decision whether I wanted to hop on this undefeated train or not. I said, Ravens, let me see how the Patriots play against the Ravens. Win or lose, how they play, I will see, okay, maybe Mike has something going here with this team being as crazy as it is. I thought the Patriots were going to have a battle. I didn't see them losing this game as bad as they did. You know, they were really undisciplined, a lot of penalties, a lot of turnovers. You can look at Brady's throw to Earl Thomas. You can look at Julian Edelman's fumble that got returned for a touchdown that hurt a lot. So now we know that the Patriots will no longer be undefeated. But, Mike, I'm not mad.
Not at all.
I'm not mad due to the fact that maybe this defense needed to get humbled a little bit. Mm. You know, it's hard not to be feeling yourself after every week. You're just getting turnovers over turnovers and turnovers. To the point, the Cleveland Brown game was comical.
Yeah.
It was comical. Baker Mayfield legit just handed the ball to Guy. Handed, just said, just take it.
Here,
please.
Here.
Please have
it. You want it? You want it? Take it.
Have it. Yeah. So you have no choice but to start feeling yourself when you when you're a defense like that. They got a little they got smacked around. Another thing, I truly believe is something we were talking about earlier, Mike, that the Patriots, and when I mean Patriots, I mean Bill Belichick, believes that he's going to see the Ravens again.
Genius Bill, huh?
And I think the game plan defensively anyways, and maybe even offensively, but defensively, was very vanilla, Mike. They didn't blitz Lamar Jackson as much. They didn't force him to be a thrower as much. They let they had when the Ravens were in a pistol formation, Lamar was able to run. Half of it has to do with this pure athleticism and being able to be outrun a
cop. Lamar Jackson is a force, yes.
He's a force. So, but I think Bill Belichick took a little easy on Lamar Jackson, and he wanted to give show a lesson to his defense, one. And another thing, you look offensively, Dorsett barely got the ball. Jacoby Myers was not in the game whatsoever. They didn't activate N'Keal Harry. They pulled some they pulled some punches back against this game. I think Belichick, he looks at the AFC and he says, Ravens.
Our only threat.
That's the one right there. That's the team that can cause us trouble. That's my theory.
You know, if you've watched the Patriots for as long as, you know, we have, if you've seen many different things that Bill Belichick has pulled throughout the years, like we have, that whole idea that you just came up with might sound crazy to some people, but I can sit here, Marv, right next to you and say, that doesn't sound crazy to me. Because here's a guy who's seen it all.
No, he knows the game.
Seen it all, done a game, won many games in many type of ways, different conditions, different places. He's seen it all, done it all. In this league we call the NFL. And if you're telling me he looked at this Ravens team and said, he scanned, you know, the AFC. No, not you're not worrying about the NFC necessarily. You need to get through the AFC before you can worry about the NFC in a possible Super Bowl matchup. And he probably looked and said, like, the Chiefs, been there, done that. We beat them. We know how to take care of them. After the Chiefs, you know, maybe people thought the Steelers were going to be competition. Nah, not really. Indianapolis Colts. Patriots drafted Brissett. They know how to take care of Brissett if need be. And either way, Brissett or no Brissett, that team's not scary. He looked at the Ravens, probably like you said, Marv, and said, if this is the team that we're going to see again, maybe we don't show all our cards. No, maybe we don't show them everything we're about. Because even before you even made that comment, after the game, you know, Patriots lost, I sat there and said, well, I'll be damned. That's a good Baltimore Ravens team. And you know what? The way the Patriots set up and the way the Ravens look like they're set up, we'll see them again.
You'll see them again.
We'll see them again down the road, whether it's the divisional game, whether it's the AFC Championship game. The chances of seeing the Ravens again are very likely. And maybe that's something that Belichick put in the back of his mind, which is why he didn't maybe do the things you talked about in terms of blitzing and trying to contain Lamar Jackson and whatnot. Or not activating N'Keal Harry when he's probably healthy and probably will be out there next week. Or, you know, Belichick could have something up his sleeve when it comes to this.
Vambo saying Bill Belichick knows that he will have home field. He's not tipping his hand yet. Exactly.
And, makes sense.
And I'm not saying Belichick was
trying to throw the game.
Trying to throw the game. No, they obviously played to win, but he wasn't going to give them everything.
Yeah, maybe he thought that if he gave him maybe some of what they had, it could be enough to possibly, you know, defeat the Baltimore Ravens, knowing that you still have a good – Patriots are still a good football team. So maybe you showed them enough that could possibly get the Patriots a victory, but at the same time not show that them everything so the Patriots, their coaching staff, you know, John Harbaugh can necessarily prepare and say, okay, this is everything they've thrown at us. We know we can beat the Patriots. We know how to handle them. I wouldn't be surprised if that's something Belichick probably had in his mind, similar to what you're saying, Marv.
Definitely. So, moving forward, Mike, last question on this, because we'll have more Patriots talk later on in the show. But moving forward, are you concerned with this Patriots team? Now that they got this first game off the road, are you, when I say concerned, meaning is their number one seed in threat?
I don't believe so. I don't believe, again, Ravens are good. You face them, you won't see them again. Okay. I still believe, I think next week after they come back out the bye. Oh, no, it's the bye, not this week.
It's the bye is this week. The
bye is this week. I think when they come back out the bye and they face Dallas or yep. Eagles.
Eagles.
They face the Eagles. Philadelphia. They're going to have, Eagles, something for the Eagles for two reasons. Number one, they know what the Eagles did to them in Super Bowl 2 years ago. One. And two, they looking to bounce back and be dominant coming off a loss against the Ravens to remind people, okay, yeah, we lost to the Ravens, but we're fine. You know, I think Van Noy was asked the question about, you know, what the mood is like after the Ravens loss and whatnot. He said, hey, look, we're 8-1, still something to smile about. It's still a good record. So they'll be happy. I do want to say this, though. Really quickly, in terms of undefeated. And it's something we talked about quickly here. I know some people don't like to hear about an undefeated season. Some people don't want to talk about it, especially after 2007. And, you know, you took that loss in the big game and the Patriots did not get it done. I will say this. When I look at the New England Patriots and in terms of this dynasty that they've built under Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft, you know, since 2000, 2001 till now, they've done it all, Marv. Won championships, multiple AFC, you know, East championships, division titles, multiple AFC championship games, Brady doing his thing. If there's one thing I'd love to see from this team, you know, it's going to be very hard to do. But then again, winning Super Bowl back-to-back seasons is also very hard to do. And Patriots have done that. Winning it 3 out of 4 years is hard to do.
They've done
that. Patriots have done that. Racking up 6 Super Bowls in this time period is very hard to do. Patriots have done that. There's one thing I'd love to see this team do, and yes, it'll be very hard to do. But if there's one sport you can get it done, it's definitely easily in the NFL because the way the season's set up. Not a lot of games, you know. Go undefeated and win a championship.
I think it's just...
You call it impossible?
I say it's impossible. Right?
If there's a team that could do it in a sport, it's the Patriots and the NFL.
Like,
you can't go undefeated in the NBA.
2017 New England Patriots was the best team to ever do it because of just the circumstance of everything. Having the Randy Moss and the Wells Walker and that offense being so superior.
And healthy.
Superior to everyone. And the way they changed the offense was different. No NFL team had a slot receiver and then a gunner like that in Randy Moss. That wasn't the NFL then. They were ahead of the league. Now everybody is caught up. Any other team that would want to go undefeated would have to have something so different for a team to not really be able to catch up on. Like there was another time where the Patriots went 14-2, when they had the two tight end sets that no one really ever had, the Rob Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez. Teams weren't having two superior tight ends at the same time going off like that. So it's going to be very difficult for any team in the NFL to go undefeated. It's just, I don't see it happening. 19-0 is a lot of games.
But if it's a team that can do it.
Excuse me.
There's a team that could do it, that could possibly make that happen. Who are you taking over the New England Patriots? If you had to choose a team.
Obviously, if I was going to choose a team, if Patriots or the field, I'm taking the Patriots.
All I'm saying is, in my eyes, and this is just me personally.
But are you taking the Patriots with the quarterback you have right now to go 19-0 still?
Are you talking about just having him as a quarterback or looking at the quarterback in this current team?
Quarterback, current team, everything. So you can't go undefeated this year. So next year is probably your last time your theory could work.
Again.
Tom Brady at the age of 43, 44, wherever you'll be, could he go have an undefeated season?
You put the right weapons around him, keep this defense intact.
You're crazy.
And put the right weapons around him? Yes.
You're wild.
I think it's possible. I think there was a game from making it happen before. If you got a game, it can happen again.
That was the best time for it to ever happen. I don't see it happening no more.
Look, one thing I'll say, it's difficult. Yes. Would it be difficult to do? But in my mind, one thing that I'd love to see get done under the Belichick-Brady, you know, time period of them together is doing that. They've broken so many records and won the most championships. Brady has the most rings. Belichick
just give me seven.
Getting up on
no
a record.
Team's done seven.
They're getting up on Brady's getting up on records. Belichick's getting up on records. Why not just add to the record book and make that happen?
Give me seven. No team has done seven ever.
That's cool. Yeah, I think anybody'd be happy with that. But something also special to be done under these two guys who will easily. You're not talking about two guys just to come and go in the league. You're talking about two guys who one is the greatest coach ever and one is the greatest quarterback ever. I would love to see the greatest coach and quarterback ever add that to their resume if it was possible.
They had their chance.
I see. Dirk said if AB was still on the team, 19-0 could happen.
Very possible. I agree. Very possible, because AB is just he's a game changer. As we was talking about earlier, someone had brought it up to us prior to the show about Antonio Brown. You give Antonio Brown the ball, there's no – any time he could score. He could score any time that boy touches the ball, you know. Obviously, he messed that up with Robert Kraft and everything, but injuries as well, though. The Patriots have suffered a lot of injuries this year compared to last year when they weren't as good, but they went throughout the season healthy, and it helped them out going into the playoffs.
Hey, man, it's pipe dream, not a pipe dream, just wishful thinking. But either way, I'm as a Patriots fan, I'm happy with a successful Patriots team, and whatever that success looks like, hoping that it's another ring, especially number seven, I'll be happy with that. But let's move on here. Definitely want to get to some other topics. And
so John Witherspoon. You know, a.k.a. Pops.
Pops. Granddad.
Legendary in the game, man. This guy, he's been in films that going down to what? The early 80s. We're talking about Rat Boy, House Party, Boomerang, one of my favorite movies. What other noticeable? Vampire in Brooklyn. That was an Eddie Murphy
movie. I remember that movie.
Soul Plane, Little Man.
Friday. Can't forget about Friday.
All the Fridays.
All the Fridays, man.
Voice of Boondocks, Pops. So, you know, this is a guy that even when you just heard his voice.
And TV shows like the Wayne Brothers and
yes,
stuff.
Yeah, Wayne Brothers. You heard his voice, you already knew who he was. You knew when he was on the screen that you was going to get a laugh because he was just ridiculous and he would say whatever it is. And, you know, we just want to pay our respects to him. Obviously, we didn't have a show last week, but rest in peace to Pops, man. This is a guy whose legacy is going to live on for a very long time.
Yeah, you know, you just listed a lot of good movies there that he's been a part of. And, you know, like I said in the beginning of the show, when that guy was on the screen, you're laughing because things he says, his mannerisms, little dancing that he does, different little things that he does and the way he acts, it just brought you, you know, tears of laughter sometimes. You know, my favorite, you know, movie that he definitely has been a part of is definitely Friday. And, you know, you set the tone in Friday. You know, me personally, I feel like next Friday is the best one of the series. I know people thought Friday's the original. Friday's a great movie. But I think next Friday is really funny, and his role in that was good. Friday after next, he was in it, but I don't think anybody really thinks Friday after next was.
That's the Cat Williams one?
Cat Williams and the Santa Claus.
Yeah, that was kind of funny.
But, you know, there was talk of another Friday coming out.
There was.
For years now.
There was.
Getting another Friday to come out. I think they possibly want to go with the title Last Friday because it probably would have been the last one that they all do, obviously. Getting Chris Tucker back into the mix. You know, Mike Epps bringing a couple of the characters who've been a part of it. You know, Devo getting him back. And obviously, you couldn't do a Friday movie without having Pops in there. And, you know, I don't think they ever able to officially green light it or, you know, start to film it or scripts. I don't know how far they got with it, but you know, now with the passing of John Witherspoon, that character, unfortunately, will no longer be a part of the Friday series. You know, whatever way, if they do film it eventually, whatever the way they want to, you know, write him off or introduce, mention him, I don't know. But it's sad that he won't be able to take part in another Friday's movie as, you know, Craig or Ice Cube, that's his character, as his father in a future film.
Yeah, and he was also going to be part of Boondocks is coming back. They're renewing their season, so I don't know how far they got into that show with him being the voice, if it was in post production or not. But he's going to be missed. You know, you look at a guy like this, even at his age, you think they're gonna live on forever.
Yeah, man.
You know, and even though he was old, this was still a surprising loss for everyone. No one really seen this coming at all. So it's definitely shocking. One thing I hated that would happen with him, and we were a victim of it as well, is they would always have a fake death.
Yeah, about death hoax, man. I hate death hoax with a passion with celebrities.
Imagine what that does to families.
Like, and yeah, like you said, it's happened a few times. Because I remember the morning that the news came out, you know, on our little group chat that we have with our friends, you know, someone said it. And I said, nah, fellas, don't play around. Because a few years ago, there was a death hoax with John Witherspoon.
Right.
And it had to come out that, you know, it's not true. And, you know, after one of our friends, Hov Jovan, said, nah, you know, go to his IG page, his certified IG page. You know, his son has taken over his IG page and put out a message regarding his father passing away. And, I mean, just back to death hoax. They suck. I'm not a fan of them. I don't know who starts them or who is inspired to start them, but putting out death hoax got to be the dumbest thing ever. You can't play around. Playing around with death ain't funny, man.
Vambo asked, was he in Freaky Friday? I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know,
Marv,
what Freaky Friday is.
Don't look
is.
That up. You scrolling on Wikipedia? You know,
I don't know what Freaky Friday is.
Freaky Friday, I know what it is. It's that movie with, like, Lindsay Lohan who switches body with her mom or something.
Oh, okay. I know what that Disney movie.
That's why Chris Brown and Lil Dicky made that song.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No. John Witherspoon's not in Freaky Friday.
Nah, man.
I don't know if that was. I don't even know. No. He wasn't in Freaky Friday.
He was not in Freaky Friday.
He was in some notable movies that we had mentioned. So, you know, we just want to pay our respects to John Witherspoon. He's a staple in a lot of people's homes, man. And he's not a guy who gets talked about a lot because he usually plays, you know, I wouldn't say a minor role, but he plays like the father role. He's not a main character or anything like that. But every time he's on screen,
he's good for the comedy, man.
He's great for it. Wayne Brothers always plays still to this day. If you get a chance to watch the Wayne Brothers, man, he's great on that as well. And that's what you get to see him the most because it's not a movie. You get to see him all the time in his element. So moving on, you know, rest in peace, John Witherspoon.
Rest in peace, John Witherspoon, for sure.
Mike, this segment that we've got right now is going to be called Overrated, Underrated.
Overrated, Underrated, all right.
And I'm not sure if I want to do a Just Right or a Just Right option. I think you're just going to have to pick
one or the other.
Overrated or underrated.
And this is open to the viewers as well.
Open to the viewers.
Or the listeners.
Same listeners, thing. Everything. Also, you know, once you see how we keep going, if you got some questions about who you will think we should rate, overrated, underrated, go ahead as well. But that's how
I like it.
That's how we're going to start off. And I'm going to start it off with this one, Mike, just for you.
Okay.
Last night, the Brooklyn Nets went up against, you know, the New Orleans Pelicans. Brandon Ingram dropped like 40 points.
Brandon Ingram dropped 40.
Kyrie Irving, you're familiar, dropped 39 and the Brooklyn Nets won. My question to you, Mike, right here, right now on Double M. Kyrie Irving, overrated, underrated?
Irving overrated or underrated? First and foremost, I hate the fact that you bring that guy's name up in my presence and we got to talk about him right now. You did that on purpose.
I did not, bro.
Just to piss me off.
I watched the game last night and I said, oh, that would be nice to talk about.
I tweeted this out before I answer this question. I tweeted this out before, and I'm going to say it again just so people can know. On behalf of many Celtics fans, screw Kyrie Irving. But to answer your question, Kyrie Irving is overrated. And I say this because he's full of a four-letter word that I can't use on this show. He's overrated. And I say this because now that I've seen him a part of my Celtics Nation personally, I had a glimpse of him. I'll never get over the fact, it'll take me a while to still get over the fact that this man played in a Celtics uniform, knowing the people who have come and gone before him. The greats, not only Celtics greats, NBA legends, greats, who've come and gone before him. And this man had the audacity in the playoffs, knowing the team that the Boston Celtics are, he had the audacity in the playoffs to just want to turn it off because he felt a certain type of way.
So you have him overrated.
Overrated. He's not a basketball great. He's a great player, puts up great points, yippee-doo. Yeah, he got a freaking championship with LeBron, great. But he's not a basketball great, in my opinion. When you want to go 8-32 and then talk about, well, this is why they brought me here. I'm Kyrie Irving. And in my mind, trying to have sympathy for the guy. Oh, he's just having a tough series. Milwaukee's playing him tough. That's all bullshit.
Hey, man.
He just didn't care. And went out there and put up duds of games just because he was ready for the season to be over and get back to Brooklyn. Overrated bum.
Kyrie Irving, for all the reasons you just said, is underrated. He's underrated. Mike, Kyrie Irving hit one of the biggest, if not the biggest shot in the NBA Finals history. He took out the almighty Golden State Warriors.
You only doing this because I said overrated.
No. Kyrie, did I say something wrong? Kyrie Irving hit one of the biggest shots in NBA Finals history. This is not just a guy who does razzle-dazzle and crosses over. He's one of the best scorers in the NBA right now. If you need a bucket, you can look at Kyrie, and he's going to get you a bucket. Did he have a bad series against the Celtics? Yes. Did things go wrong with the Celtics at the end, and a lot of Celtics fans are mad? Absolutely. But does that change Kyrie Irving, the basketball player? It sure doesn't. But we're going to move on from there.
Screw him.
Kyrie Irving's a great basketball player.
Screw him.
Next, an important trailer came out today in film history. Bad Boys 3.
Bad Boys.
You saw the trailer?
What you going to do? Sure did. Watched it at work.
What'd you think of it?
The first time I watched the trailer, because this is like the second trailer that came out.
Right.
The first one I saw, when I saw the first one, I was like, all right, you know, it's okay. Action-packed movie, whatever. But then I saw the second one today, and I'm like, wow, I think they're going to like really do justice to what Bad Boys is, was, and has become. You know, it seems like from the storyline, from what I took away from that trailer, you know, Martin Lawrence's character kind of wants to fall back out of the game. Yeah. Will Smith's character, Mike Lowry, still wants to be, you know, in the game doing his thing as a police officer, running and gunning, pretty boy. But Mike Lowry needs Marcus Burnett for one last ride. And that's his bro.
Yeah, and people are after Mike.
And they're after Mike, and he needs his brother out there to have his back. And if that's really the storyline, what it looks like it's about, and they build it off of that, that seems like it's going to be a good movie, good story, and maybe a good way to end it off. I think it's underrated, though. I don't think people are really looking forward to this. Bad Boys is a first Bad Boys, great movie. Bad Boys 2 is freaking hilarious.
Bad Boys 2 is really good.
And, you know, if people can just remember and bring back the feelings they had of those movies when they came out, because it's been a long time. When did Bad Boys 2 come out?
Like 2000, I'll tell you right now.
When did Bad Boys 2 drop?
Bad Boys 2, 2003.
2003, Bad Boys 2 16 dropped. 16
years ago.
Wow. It's 2019, but it's dropping in 2020. Who's dropping in 2020?
But Mike, you're getting ahead of yourself. I wasn't asking you about if the Bad Boys series was overrated or underrated.
Oh, the trailer.
I just want to let you, I just want to get your quick thoughts on the trailer.
Sorry. Underrated.
I still didn't ask that either, but thanks.
What?
Here's my question.
Okay.
Will Smith. He's been in a lot of movies.
Yes, Will Smith's been in a lot of movies.
Listen, after 2008, after one of my favorite Will Smith movies, Seven Pounds.
That's a very good movie. Deep movie, yeah.
I love 7 Pounds. After Rosario Seven Dawson. Pounds, Mike, things get a little, in my opinion, funny money.
Okay, it's a couple of movies that dropped after 7 Pounds. Give me some.
Okay, excuse me. All right, after 7 Pounds, you know, Will Smith kind of disappeared for a little bit. Then you got Men in Black 3. What happened? Men in Black 3.
Okay.
Goes away for a little bit again. Drops the concussion movie.
Sure. He told a story about a guy who did something great. Solid movie.
Suicide Squad.
Sucked.
Collateral Beauty.
That's with that girl who played Harley Quinn from Suicide Squad.
Right.
The betting movie.
Mm. Oh, you don't really remember it, but you watched it, right?
I watched it because that girl is beautiful.
Okay. Bright.
I only saw Bright once. I think I need to see it again. But
Aladdin.
Margot Robbie, thank you. She's beautiful. I never saw Aladdin. Don't plan on it.
If it's Gemini Man.
Gemini Man. I should have waited till it was on FX. TNT USA to watch that.
Sci-fi
as well, yeah.
Listen, Will Smith is regarded as one of the greats, right?
Yeah, man. Tyler Perry named the sound studio after that.
He's
man.
Considered one of the great. Oh, After Earth. I forgot After Earth.
That movie sucked.
He's considered one of the greats. Like, when people say name their favorite artist, favorite actors, a lot of people mention Will Smith. Some people will say, you know, Denzel. Some people say Leonardo DiCaprio and stuff. But Will Smith's a name that gets put up there as well.
Don't put.
But I'm just saying people's favorites. I'm not saying who's greater or not.
Okay.
People's favorites. For a big time actor, Will Smith does. He gets given some. I can't swear.
Just you could say the A word, bro.
He gets given some crappy roles. He gets put in some crappy ass roles. And I don't know if you're giving Denzel a script of Bright.
Take Denzel, read that and hand it right back to you. Denzel, a polite man. He'll read it and say, I kindly decline. Man, Vambo said the best thing Will Smith ever did was get with Jada Pinkett Smith.
Jesus. I'm not trying to get to the man's personal life.
My goodness.
I'm just talking career. So after 2008, after 7 Pounds, you know, 7 Pounds is a real good movie. You said you liked it very deep.
Rosario Dawson.
Things just seemed to me to go downhill. I saw Aladdin. Aladdin wasn't that great. I'm not planning to ever watch Gemini Man. Saw Bright. Bright was cool. I see why I just went straight to Netflix. Collateral Beauty, like you said, I watched that, Mike. Don't remember the damn plot. Concussion, horrible accent. Didn't watch. I couldn't get to 5 minutes of it. Don't even know what the hell Focus is.
Wait. Focus is the movie with the girl from.
Which one is it?
Focus is the movie with the girl from Suicide, Margot Robbie.
Then what the hell is Collateral Beauty?
Collateral Beauty? Hold on. Because I see Collateral Beauty and it's actually a good movie. Hold on. What
the hell is Collateral Beauty then?
Collateral
Beauty is when he's going to die.
Yeah, but what does he do throughout the movie? I don't remember.
Like he
7 Pounds is him about to, he wanted to kill himself and give up.
Yeah, but Collateral Beauty, isn't Collateral Beauty when he knows he's going to die and he's like doing something for people?
Why'd I seem like it's 7 Pounds?
American drama film directed by da-da-da.
Collateral Beauty is a good, for some reason, I don't remember what it's about, but it's a good movie.
It's not a good movie, Mike, if you don't remember what it's about.
Bro, you know how many movies Will Smith?
It's not a good movie, Mike. That you just.
I am Legend.
I Am Legend. That's I said after 2008. I said after 2008. Don't change. No. So here's the question: Will Smith, overrated, underrated? After the list we just gave out, Mike.
Damn.
Overrated, underrated.
Is Will Smith overrated or underrated?
He hasn't had a box office hit in a long time.
Will Smith's underrated. Underrated.
I'm listening.
He's. I think with many actors, there's a lot of actors out there. Take out like Leonardo and Denzel. Many actors have had a stretch of their career. They made some sucky movies along the way. Will Smith has been a couple sucky movies. I think we all can say that. But you know, the man is a pioneer, especially in the black community. Like he's made something out of himself. From going from a little goofy dude in Fresh Prince of Bel-Air rapping right. And talking jokes to being in some major movies. Like, okay, you cut him off at a certain time period, but he's been in some major movies.
Yeah, I specifically said after 2008. And, hey, that's what? 11? That's 11 years now. I'm talking about the past 11 years. It hasn't looked too bright. You know, someone brought up
okay.
Pursuit of Happiness. I love Pursuit of Happiness.
Is a good movie.
While you're looking, Gregory brings up a cool point here. He says he's properly rated. It's like Jim Carrey, Adam Sandler. Times have changed. With those guys, though, you know what you're getting from Jim Carrey. You know what you're getting from Adam Sandler. You know that I'm not saying they're typecasted, but if I'm going to see an Adam Sandler movie, I know what to expect. I know what kind of he's a comedian. He's mostly a comedian. Will Smith, he's versatile. He can give you a drama. He can do a comedy film. He can do a rom-com. He can do an action film like Men in Black or Bad Boys. So he's a little more versatile. With those guys, Jim Carrey and Adam Sandler, I know now times have changed. They're starting to do a little more drama. And Adam Sandler has a movie that I really want to see that's coming out very soon, too. But Will Smith, past 11 years, I'm going to say overrated because of what his movies as of late have not been good. And I don't know why he's accepting some of these weird movies. Like After Earth, come on, Will Smith
just wants to be in a movie with his son, bro.
He did already. Pursuit of Happiness, it went well.
Yeah, but now his son was older, can talk. Got some sense.
Gemini Man, why the hell did Will Smith? Like, the only reason people went to go see Gemini Man was because of Will Smith. I saw the trailer. The trailer looked horrible, but I could see Will Smith can still pull people in. Men in Black 3 sucked.
Was Rosario Dawson in Men in Black 3 or 2? I think it was 2.
That's all you care about.
She beautiful.
Why you always care about the co-stars? I'm talking about Will Smith.
Hey, man. Look.
So you say underrated. Yes, the KG movie is what I'm talking about. When you said Adam Sandler has a movie with KG, I can't wait to watch that movie.
KG is in Kevin Garnett.
That movie looks great. It's about betting, side betting, and hustling.
And KG's in the movie.
Yeah, it looks really good. But KG's as himself.
Oh, okay. All right, continue.
All right, so moving on here. Let's go back to sports. Gordon Hayward. This season, and as of right now, currently live on this show, Gordon Hayward is going off. He's going off right now. And for the season, Mike, he's averaging 35 minutes, which was shocking to me. 16 points, shooting 55% from the three, 7 rebounds, 3.6 assists. Is Gordon Hayward overrated, underrated, more specifically from what you thought he was going to bring in the Celtics in general?
Oh, overrated for sure. But it's like with an asterisk because – you know, he broke his freaking foot.
Bad.
Not no sprained ankle. Like, he broke his foot. And I'm not in his shoes. I'm not him, so I don't know what it's like to go through that. But the man broke his foot. And we all know, if you don't remember who Gordon Hayward was before he broke his foot, before he came to the Celtics, YouTube that man, especially his last year in Utah. The man was a good all-star level player. And then he came here, broke his foot. Then he came back from broken foot and had an underwhelming season. And I think at points people put extra pressure on him because they knew who Gordon Hayward was. But at the same time, this guy's coming back from a major injury. It's going to take time. And now he has another year under his belt, and to start the year, 5 games in, I believe.
Yep.
Solid stats he's putting up on a team that has a lot of options. He's greatly contributing. But I think in the overall scheme of things, and I think next year is the final year for his contract, you know, unless he goes off this year on a crazy level, I think people will look back at Gordon Hayward's time, at least with these 4 years, unless they sign into extension or whatever they do, as, you know, an overrated experience, because he just didn't necessarily live up to the Utah Jazz all-star Gordon Hayward potential that we thought we'd see from him.
Yeah, I have to agree. You know, overrated. And with asterisks, obviously, with his broken foot. But Gordon Hayward will always be tied to that 2018-2019 team. Gordon Hayward was on the floor. He was healthy, you know, quote unquote. And he sucked. He wasn't good. Sure he wasn't did. He wasn't aggressive. There was at times he was a huge defensive liability. At times he looked lost. And that 2018-19 season, you know, that's going to haunt a lot of Celtics fans. It still haunts me at times. And then you're talking about the contract that, you know, Soul Rebel just mentioned. Gordon Hayward has a huge contract with his team. You brought him in with championship aspirations. We going into this season not even thinking about aspirations. Sometimes Gordon Hayward's not even talked about. You talk about Tatum, you talk about Brown, you talk about Kemba, and you know, Gordon Hayward is an afterthought. He's balling right now, and it's great to see. It's good for him, good for his morale.
Yeah.
Currently, what, he dropped, 16 points in the first quarter while we were prepping for this show?
Yes.
So, it's looking good. Signs are trending up. But all in all, Gordon Hayward, overrated.
Agreed.
All right, what else do I got here, Mike? This one's specifically for you because I don't know too much about wrestling.
Dude, I'm pissed. Oh, okay.
AEW. It's the new wrestling league headlined by Chris Jericho, you know, former WWE superstar.
Yeah.
Is having another wrestling company to challenge WWE overrated, underrated? Is it good for the sport?
Overrated meaning is good for the sport?
So, underrated meaning, oh man, this is an underrated idea. Like, this could really...
Oh yeah. Absolutely, it's underrated. I'm a WWE, WWF fan from a young age. Like, growing up in my house, it's two things that was on the TV. I don't know if those are just the two things, you know. My father was really hip too, but my brother and I, we watched plenty of sports and plenty of wrestling. So, you know, I was there, watched all the WWE, especially them years when they was going up against WCW and whatnot. As I got older and started getting into a lot of different other things, my wrestling fandom, you know, kind of dwindled. But, you know, I'll still keep up because, you know, you might have a night where The Rock comes back or Stone Cold comes back or Undertaker comes out from under the ring or some craziness. So, you know, I'll still tune in, you know, to see what's happening. But if there's one thing that's happened over the years, you know, because eventually, like I said, WWE and WCW was around, WWE eventually bought WCW, there was no real threat anymore. You know, there's been a couple other companies to come up, but nobody really posed a threat to the WWE like WCW did. And, you know, and some people will say because of that, and WWE's had all these years where there's no real threat, their quality of their content has sucked.
Right.
Because who cares? They don't have to pull out all the stops. They can go PG and stop hitting dudes over the head with chairs and stuff because, like, they're not going up against anybody. Like, they're the only made wrestling company out there. Now you got AEW coming out with a couple of big name guys like Chris Jericho and some other guys that they pull that, you know, hardcore wrestling fans know. Some people believe, and I believe as well, you know, maybe this should light a fire on the WWE's ass to, you know, make their content good again. You know, maybe do a little bra and panties match or something. I don't know.
There you go.
Do a little something wild. I don't know, to get people like, oh, okay, WWE got the stuff over there. So I think it's underrated. And, you know, people who are definitely wrestling fans should. I personally have never watched an episode of AEW. I've maybe seen some quick YouTube clips. I also haven't watched WWE in a long time, other than, you know, reading about different things that maybe happen online. But I think it's good for the wrestling world to have two companies battling to just to make each other great. If you're a big wrestling fan, it's good for it. So I definitely think it's underrated.
Overrated.
Overrated to you?
Overrated. Well, you mentioned it, Mike. They've had other companies. What was the other company? Let's start with an N.
It was TNA.
TNA. There we go.
And that was supposed to be the big one, because they really had a lot of, like, old WWE guys come through.
What they would do is they wait for these WWE superstars to get old, and probably Vince McMahon would give them a small contract, and TNA would be like, oh, hey, you come over here. Oh, yeah, you're a big name. Give, like, remember Kurt Angle?
Yeah, old Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle, Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair was there, Booker T.
Was Sting there?
Sting was there.
Like, you know, I remember just
they
flipping
was decent, though, for a little bit.
Flipping through the channels, TNA would be on, and you'd watch it if you see a familiar face. Like, yeah. Oh, okay, I remember this guy. And it just fades away, though. It's not like I watch him like, oh, man, I can't wait till next week.
Because WWE is just such a freaking machine.
Yeah, that's what it is. Right now, I think the machine of WWE is so strong. Shout out to AEW. They got TNT. They got TNT as a platform, which is really good for them. But I don't know how can you pull fans from WWE that's, like you said, been a machine,
because
bring them into AEW?
The reason why some people feel as if AEW might get some, you know, following traction behind them, yeah, is because, like I said, over the last couple of years, a lot of wrestling fans and even WWE fans have started to feel like the quality of WWE's work has sucked, and they've been hoping and believing that something else would come up, and now this is the something else that wrestling fans can possibly gravitate to. Will it sustain and have success over the long run? That remains to be seen.
Sustainability.
That remains to be seen. But I think people are happy that there's something else now that they could possibly turn to that's not the crappy WWE content. But I think they're starting to flip it around possibly a little
bit. Gregory's saying Big Three style. Explain what you mean by that. I'm guessing you mean kind of like how the Big Three mirrors the NBA and you got old dudes coming in. I don't know if you're trying to bring
maybe
up TNA.
Talking about, I don't know if you're still talking about Hayward with the Celtics and whatnot. But, yeah, explain on that, Gregory, and what you meant on that.
Okay, like, yeah, so XFL or CFL, all of these other leagues, they don't hold a candle to the NFL. No one's watching the XFL be like, okay, this is
they haven't started yet. You got to give XFL a chance.
Mike, you're not going to watch the XFL and be like, this is my new league.
I won't. Maybe some people will. There's people out there who stop watching the NFL because of various reasons.
Right, that's true. And what else? Big Three, they're not competing with the NBA because they don't air.
I don't think they try to compete with the NBA.
they don't air when the NBA is on, you know. But, you know, well, it remains to be seen. What else do I have here? Okay,
got
another
a few more coming up.
Another news that came out today. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse 2 is coming out in 2022.
Yeah, man, they got to ride the wave of the success from that movie for sure. What is your question? Is it
the whole Spider-Verse film? You know, it got a lot of hype.
Yeah.
It won some awards, everything like that. Is that movie, for the viewers watching, for you, Mike, overrated, underrated?
Is the movie underrated or overrated? A little overrated. You know, no, I take it back. I think it's underrated due to the fact that I don't people really, some people or the casual fan really understand how many directions the whole Spider-Verse can go into. And they kind of alluded to some of it in the original movie.
Right.
And, you know, some people who don't understand, some of Peter Parker, Spider-Man, whatever. I think with some people, when this movie first came out, Miles, what's his last name?
Morales.
Miles Morales. Some people probably like, that ain't freaking Peter Parker. How the hell is a Spider-Man movie and there's no Peter Parker? And people don't understand, you know, the Spidey universe and the world around it. Vambo just says something wild, and I hope he was joking with that comment.
Whoa. Andrew Garfield, he was the actor for the Amazing Spider-Man series, the second installment of the Spider-Man, was a better Spider-Man than Tobey Maguire.
That's completely 100%
false.
Complete fallacy. Please, Vambo, put the smiley, crying face emoji, LOL, something. Because there's no way you believe that. I've never met anybody in the world who can say that. In my opinion, I know this is kind of getting away from your question, but...
It's okay.
Tobey Maguire, the best Spider-Man to me. I know, hey, and it's nothing to go against current dude right now, holding it down. I think Tobey Maguire really set the tone as a great Spider-Man. The current guy, why am I drawing a blank on his name?
I'm forgetting his name right now as well, too. I feel like it starts with a T.
But either way, Andrew Garfield is at the bottom of that list. Bottom. It goes Tobey Maguire, Tim Holland. Thank you, Gregory. Tom Holland. Tobey Maguire, Tom Holland. And then, I guess because he played Spider-Man, Andrew Garfield. I'll even put Shameik Moore above Andrew Garfield off his voice work as, you know, Miles Morales in the universe Spider-Man. Like,
I have Tom Holland ahead of Tobey off the fact that Tobey was just a little too old. Yeah, especially, but Spider-Man 3 is a turnoff for me. It wasn't a good movie. It's a bad movie.
But it was a different Peter Parker.
It was a different Peter Parker, but just Tobey was this.
No, he didn't look too old in Spider-Man 1 and 2.
We're talking about the whole body of work.
I think you really just hated Spider-Man 3.
Spider-Man 3 is bad.
It's a very bad movie.
Spider-Man 3 is bad.
It's a bad movie.
I really like Tom
he's
Holland
good. He's good
as the Spider-Man.
The role they have him in as a young high school kid, I think in the latest movie, he was, a junior in high school?
Mm-hmm.
So the next movie, I think they're going to revolve around him being a senior.
He fits really well as the Spider-Man character. Tobey was a great Spider-Man.
Yeah, graduating into college, you know, trying to get actual working at the Daily Bugle and whatnot. I think he fit in there perfectly. Spider-Man 3 definitely sucked.
That movie pissed me
off. And there was plans of a fourth one coming out.
There was.
I always read about that.
And me too. And I saw the script. They had. It looked really good, but they wanted to move in another direction. And that's when they brought in Andrew Garfield. And that the plot was cool. I thought the storyline and everything, bringing Gwen in it instead of Mary Jane.
It went down.
But Andrew just, yeah.
It went downhill for me because... You know, I don't think they did it with the Tom Holland movies, but, you know, usually in Spider-Man movies, they always have this scene where, he gets to learn his powers and he gets to understand to shoot webs. When they had this dude, Andrew Garfield, in a skate park doing kickflips, learning his Spider-Man moves, that's when I said, all right, this is BS. I couldn't take it anymore. Y'all want the Venom Spider-Man crossover? I do.
Oh, absolutely. And I think it can be done.
And I also like the fact whether they make this crossover with Spider-Man or not, or just make another solo Venom film, I like the fact that Carnage might come about. I am a huge Carnage fan.
Carnage, you have the Sinister Six, you know, the six major villains of Spider-Man. And that's why Spider-Verse is important. Because the Spider-Verse can open up so many possibilities. Yeah, man. You can try to bring in a Tom Holland into a Spider-Verse and things like that. Because it's all about different dimensions and different, you know, areas. And they can make it work. They can make it work. It's just all about, does Disney want to continue working with Sony? Because they got Spider-Man back.
Hey, man.
So that's money, what it depends.
Money talks.
And Venom was, did you watch Venom?
I did.
Venom was okay. They made Venom a little goofy than I thought they would, but he's goofy in the comments too. It was a little too goofy for me, but the actor wasn't bad. It was okay movie.
Yeah, I can't wait to see, you know, where they go with the future Venom film for sure. Like I said, I know in the post-credit scenes, I think they teased Carnage, which was played by... I keep drawing blanks. Woody Harrelson. I think they did a post-credit scene with Woody Harrelson as Venom. But again, we'll see how what's to come from there.
All right, last one to cap it all off this show. Patriots defense, Mike.
This is one you definitely wanted to talk about. So I'll let you set the tone with that and how you feel about the Patriots defense being underrated or overrated.
Who? This one's tough because the words underrated. Can you really say the Patriots defense is underrated?
I really thought you was going to say they were overrated when you just come into the segment.
And I am.
Oh.
You just interrupted my whole
show.
So sorry.
So sorry.
But, you know, I get it. Time's running out. You just wanted me to hurry up, so I understand. Overrated. And I'll say, yes, this Patriots defense looks great. Historic numbers and whatnot. But I saw it in that Cleveland game, man. I saw it. And damn, Gregory beat me to it. But I saw it in that Cleveland game. That defensive line, I know you gave up Michael Bennett and stuff because you want to move forward to a 3-4 defense compared to a 4-3 defense. You might want to do a 4-3 defense. Michael Bennett could have helped against Cleveland. Could have helped against the Ravens here when your defensive line was getting run on bad. Chubb ran on you. I know he fumbled the ball a couple times like a dummy, but he ran all over you. Mark Ingram beasted all over you. Lamar Jackson beasted all over you. The touchdown they gave to Gus Edwards, that was bad. Defensive line has some holes, and that's the weakness of this Patriots defense. So they're overrated.
Yeah, you know, I can't really disagree with you on this one. Will I say this defense was exposed in these last couple of games? I wouldn't really say exposed, but obviously, you know, they have some areas, just like most football teams do, they have some areas where they definitely need to improve. Or they have some areas of their team that, you know, teams can expose a little bit, I guess. Right. But overall, it's still a pretty damn good, you know, defense. I think in the biggest games and the biggest matchups, when the lights are on bright, you know, Bill Belichick, the coaching staff, they'll get the most out of their players in the system. You know, big mantra a couple of years ago, do your job. I think when the lights are on bright, I trust and believe that this current defense, the current personnel that they have, will be able to step up and do what they do. But I hear what you're saying.
My man Vambo said, I'm just like a banana and I'm overrating the Patriots defense. You said Andrew Garfield is the best Spider-Man. Yeah. So your opinions to me no longer mean a thing.
Vambo, you can't say anything after that.
But shout out for watching the show. You know it's all love, man. All love. Thank you for everyone that's watched the show, that comments, that brings up their opinions.
Absolutely.
We appreciate it big time. This is episode 35, Mike.
35.
35. We'll be back again next week.
Whoa. This is Gordon Hayward's best game as a Celtic.
What's his numbers, Travis? What's his numbers?
You see, I said he's dropping 40 after seeing the highlights. What do you got right now, Travis? Let us know. Drop it real quick.
See you next time, Vambo.
Drop it real quick, Travis. Tell us. 36 right now.
You got 36?
Okay. Ooh, on that note,
we
got to
go watch the game.
In. Appreciate y'all
14
watching.
14 for 18.
Yeah,
all right, y'all.
Appreciate y'all watching. Thanks a lot. See y'all next time. Double M. We out.